On this episode of The Flatus Show, number 69A, an interview with Ninja of the Hot Fossils and Rebel Matters podcast. We talk about windstorms, conservatives, Quebec, and politics. This and more. The Flatus Show, starring Kenty and Jose. Welcome to the Flatus Show. Tab for my diet. Welcome to the Flatus Show. Hi, little Jose. I'm Kenty. And Jose, come here, Jose. Oops, sorry. Jose, he walked away. He's awake. Can you believe it? But he's not mindful to the show. Welcome to the Flatus Show. I'm Kenty. Let's get some information off right away. You can reach me at kenty@theflatusshow.com. That's K-E-N-T-I-E. You can also reach me at 206-339-JOSE. And that's a phone number courtesy of K7.net. You too can get your own phone number from K7.net. And people can leave you messages, and those voice comments or voice messages can be sent directly to your inbox and your email. So visit K7.net, and you too can have your own phone number. It is a regular phone number. It's just set in Washington State. That's why it's 206. Nothing funny going on. Doesn't cost you anything more than a toll. And again, if you want your own phone number, go to K7.net. So thank you, K7.net, for the phone number. Let's see here, some news. And the 3-DVD set of musicals is right here. No one has submitted a 10-minute act for the show, which is fine, because I know most of my listeners are podcasters. But you can hear me. I'm opening it because I want to keep it myself. Three musicals. So I'm wondering. I'll let you know next week. How the quality of this particular print of Glorifying the American Girl is. Because I don't know what it'll be like. Wow, that's interesting, the way they have this set up in here. Wow, I've never seen this set up before. That's weird. So all the musicals in here, there's Three Broadway Girls, Dollface, Moonlight Sonata, Second Chorus, Mr. Imperium, Manhattan Merry-Go-Round, Royal Wedding, Happy Go Lovely, Glorifying the American Girl, and The Stork Club. So, it's your loss in my game. Throw away a piece of trash. Okay, and we got that out of the way. Ooh. Let me make some notes. I have my notes written out here. I have to try to. I'm sorry, I'm moving away from the mic. Let's see here. K7.net, mark off. DVD, mark off. MySpace. As you know, I have MySpace. I have 15 people who are my friends. Woo-hoo-hoo! But what was really weird is there's one MySpace guy. It's called That Voice Guy. And he is the famous guy who does voiceovers. And he actually requested to be part of the Flatus Show. So I don't know how he knows the Flatus Show, but That Voice Guy, how do you know about my show? The Flatus Show. Because I'm really impressed that you sent that email. And I joined, of course, his page too. It's wonderful. And let's see. Also, oh yeah. These next two shows, 69A and B, because there's two. This episode's with Ninja, interview with Ninja. It's going to be link heavy on the show notes because there'll be a lot that we talk about and I'm going to be linking to a lot. So check out the show notes at www.theflatusshow.com. Follow the links to my podcast and then you'll see the show notes. And there'll be the links and everything in there. I want to also give a special shout out to Brian from audioattitude.com. I still listen to his podcast. I haven't talked about it in a while, but I still listen to it. It's a great podcast. A mixture of commentary, topical commentary, and music. So if you like that sort of thing, check out audioattitude.com. And let's see here. What else do we have? This is probably a pretty long show, so I'm trying to split up my show notes for the two. So I'm going to leave the rest for the next. Let me put a little note next to the stuff I have to still talk about. Oh, I didn't talk about that. Put a circle there. And I didn't talk about that. Put a circle there. And I didn't talk about that. Put a circle there. Okay, so that's that. And, yeah, that's it. So, on with the show. And now, the Bible reading to confuse the Orthodox believer. John 14, 1 through 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going? You know the way to the place where I am going, period. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. I want to repeat that. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Now, Jesus says, whoever has my... Well, first, he says a couple things. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. That's one thing. Second thing, he says, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. His commands, I believe, were two. Love God above all others, which is God the Father, and love your neighbors as yourselves. And it is my belief that what he's talking about is that's how you boil down the law. So in Judaism, there's 613 laws, including the Ten Commandments, I guess. I don't know if it's a separate ten or not. But if you look at them and you measure it against those two commandments, love the God above all others, or love whatever, love only God. I don't have the exact quote. It's in here somewhere. And the second one, love your neighbors as yourself. Then you can see how all these things, all those rules apply to those laws. And in fact, not just that, not just those rules created at that time during that society, but to be measured against all societies. And of course, societies change, and that's just a fact. Whether you want to believe that or not, that's your prerogative. But that is what I believe he is saying, and that's what I know he is saying. And you could probably say, I'm fish full of shit or whatever, but I just know it in my heart because I read it right there in the Bible. And that's for my evangelical friends. So that's it. So there you go. That's the message. I'm just a woman, a lonely woman, waiting on a weary shore. I'm just a woman, that's only human, one you should be sorry for. Got up this morning along about dawn, without warning, I found he was gone. Why should he do it? How could he do it? He never done it before. Am I blue? Am I blue? Ain't these tears in these eyes telling you? Am I blue? You'd be too if each plan with your man done fell through. Was a time I was his only one, but now I'm the sad and lonely one. Lordy, was I gay till today? Now he's gone and we're through. Am I blue? It's aggravating to stand here waiting, waiting for a trifling man. It set me hating to stand here waiting. Suicide's my only plan. I think it's awful, his treatment of me. It's most unlawful how mean he can be. I can't forget him, I'm bound to get him. I'll run him down if I can. Am I blue? Am I blue? Ain't these tears in these eyes telling you? Am friend with your man done fell through. Was a time I was his only one, but now I'm the sad and lonely one. Lordy, was I gay till today? Now he's gone and we're through. Am I blue? If we can, at the count of three, if we can say, I don't know, podcast together, so I can line it up, okay?
Okay.
So one, two, three, podcast.
Podcast.
Okay, let's do that again. One, two, three, podcast. Okay, it'll be close enough. How's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. You guys are in Toronto, right?
That's right.
Do you live in the city or in the suburbs?
No, yeah, right downtown.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I've never been to Canada, so...
Never, really?
I know. I've never been at all, not even to Niagara Falls. Or Montreal, exactly.
Which is a pretty, exciting town to be in.
I know, I've heard... I almost had a chance to go for a friend of mine was getting married there, and that's about it.
So you've had a windstorm there too.
Yeah, did you have it up there?
We're having it now.
Oh yeah, it was terrible. It was terrible. The rain wasn't so bad. I mean, it was annoying, right? But the wind was like knocking everything down.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure it's that bad, but where we do have a wind warning in effect, and it's been in effect for about 2 days. So yeah, I think we get a lot of the same weather.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sure we do. Well, you certainly get the snow before us, so.
Oh, okay, yeah, we're slightly colder.
Yeah. I'm not really sure where it fits on the map, but I know you're farther north.
Did you go to Pod Camp Boston last month?
I was going to do that, and I didn't, because I didn't know what it was, really. I couldn't understand. Did you know anything about that, like what that means or like how it works?
Yeah, it's a free event.
Uh-huh.
So what you do is, as a podcaster or as someone involved in the, podcasting, video casting, artistic mode of expression, you have to go and you have to do a presentation or be part of a panel or volunteer your time. And then the point is that everybody contributes to the effort, and the organizers try to find sponsors, and so that it's inexpensive for everybody.
Did you go?
I didn't go. I could have gone, but there were quite a few people from the Toronto podcasting community that did go.
I've been trying to hook into the Boston podcasters, but they meet. I live in on Cape Ann. If you see a map of Massachusetts, it's the northern part of the state along the coast. And the meetups are always like west of Boston in like Framingham. And it's really hard for me to get there because I don't drive into work. It's like a 40 mile commute anyway. And I take the train and it just never works out for me. So
it would have been like a trip for you, almost the same as it would have been for me.
Exactly.
You might have had to, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we are having one here in Toronto in the weekend of the 24th, 25th in February.
Oh, really?
A pod camp, yes. So.
Oh, well, maybe that will be my maybe I'll come up there for that.
Okay.
since I need to get to Canada at least sometime in my life to say I've been an international traveler.
Well, it would be nice to have some other queer casters involved. That would be cool. I seem to be the only one in Ontario.
Really?
Of women. There's a couple of men. The gay trucker is Canadian.
Oh, that's
I'm not sure. I think he's based somewhere here in this province in Ontario. I think that's where his home is here. And there's another fellow, Helena Handbasket. That's who it is. He lives here in Toronto. I don't know who he is. And there's me.
Wow.
And that's it. Those are the only queer casters I know about.
Mm. Now, that you mentioned this. I mean, how many podcasters are there in Canada in general? Do you think there's more? Like, how's it compared to the States? I mean, what you know of?
I would say per capita, there's probably more in the United States. Hmm. But here we have a network. We have a number of networks. One of the more popular networks is called CanadaPodcast.ca.
Yeah.
And it's run by some people who are already in the, the entertainment industry, or CBC, or the broadcasting industry. So it's a mixture of people who are in technology and people who are in the broadcasting industry. And they're running CanadaPodcast.ca. So very early on in 2005, they formed these podcasting networks and actually encouraged Canadian podcasters to join and be part of that community. So I did that almost immediately after I joined QPodder. And that's been I find QPodder very inclusive for me anyway, in its own way. But I find the Canadian podcast community just as inclusive. And they're very, a lot of them are very, very supportive of me and the fact that I am a queer caster. That's not a problem at all. So
that's good.
That's, yeah, very encouraging. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so we sort of, when I do my interviews, I generally don't edit them. So we'll just jump in. You've been podcasting for over a year. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes, I have.
When did you start your podcast? And tell us a little bit about it, and then when you started it.
I started it exactly August the 1st, 2005. And that was about 2 weeks of finding out about podcasting and about a week of setting up my software and hardware to accommodate it, including figuring out what site I wanted to be in to upload my podcast to. So it was about 2 weeks startup time for me. Elapsed time was probably really about 48 hours, because I wasn't constantly working at it for 2 weeks. But it was thinking about it and, getting my first shows ready and that kind of thing. And then on August the 1st, 2005, I posted like a 15-minute thing that I read from some journal entry I had from somewhere. I can't even remember what it was.
And that was the birth of Hot Fossils and Rebel Matters.
That was the birth, yes.
So tell us about the name, because I find it provocative.
Well, it's about old things, traditional things, things that we already know about. And so that's the Hot Fossils part. The Rebel Matters part is about all the new things, all the exciting things, all the edgy things. So I want it to be a mixture of both. Both the new, both the old, both the traditional conservative and the radical and interesting and new, cutting edge.
Now, I know you have a co-host, Special K. Was she always considered to be a full-time co-host, or is it just sort of whenever it's convenient?
Well, mostly when it's convenient, but I more or less pulled her in because she... how do I put this? She has a lot of, her mind is like a steel trap. So she is always reading the news. She's always analyzing current events. She knows who everybody is, obscure directors and filmmakers that you've never heard of. She knows who they are and who they're all connected to. So she can tell you all that kind of thing.
She's like your Wikipedia.
She is. And she's great to talk to because she really has a very, I will speak from emotion. And that's where I'm coming from. That's probably why we're together. So I speak from emotion, and she speaks from her head. So she's got all this stuff in her head, and she's very objective, and not all the time, but most of the time. And she speaks about what she knows and often how she feels about it, too. But mostly she's a very good source of information. And she has a very good, she's got a very good head. So her other nickname is Sherlock, we call her, because she's good at solving mysteries.
Yeah, that's right. I remember that. I remember one of your episodes. I'm not sure where, if it was the one you called her Sherlock for the first time, but it was very good.
Yeah.
Okay. What was I going to say now? Emotion and head. Okay. So you've guys been together for a while, I take it. That's what my impression is.
Oh, you mean as partners?
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. As life partners for a long time, yeah. Yeah, one of the things that happened was we were together for all this time, and then one day I said, hang on, I have no idea how long we've been together. And I had to go back and, you know, figure out how many years we've been together, and we finally figured out that we had been together for about 10 years.
Wow.
But we had no idea. It just sort of went. And I guess that's a mark of a good relationship. So
I know what you mean, because my partner and I, we've been together for 10 years too. We're like, geez, where'd all the time go? You know, it's just like a you know, all the things that happen in that time, you know, and
yes.
You don't really think about the time.
No.
Now, how's your experience been, you know, living in Canada? And I know Canada recognized gay marriages nationally, right? Throughout all your provinces. A lot earlier than the United States, because only one state now has gay marriage, which is my fabulous state,
yes.
Massachusetts.
What happened was it was declared that all the provinces were directed that they had to make gay marriage legal. So it was kind of a decree that occurred nationally, and then each of the provinces had to institute it separately. So now I think there's almost all of them except two or three, I'm not really sure which ones, don't have gay marriage yet, but all the others do, yeah.
Do they have to eventually have gay marriage available?
Yes, eventually that's what's supposed to happen. The only problem with that is that our current Prime Minister, Harper, wants to bring it back for discussion. Say, no, we want to put a stop to it. He's saying not only do we as the Conservative Party, which is more or less, I guess the same as your Republican Party.
Yep.
He wants to reverse it for all the provinces that have it as well.
Ah.
So he's making it an issue. And that was one of his issues on his platform.
Generally speaking, the population in Canada, is it for gay marriage? I mean,
yes.
They can clearly see that no big harm has come to Canada. God hasn't, you know, shit on it or whatever.
No.
God does, you know. So I would think that it's not going to be really much of an issue up there, but you seem to think that this Conservative Party is pushing it. Or making it an issue?
Well, it's really politically, when a vote is taken, it's almost 50-50 with the those on the gay marriage side taking like 1% or 2% more. That's
wow.
About it. So it is a divisive issue, for sure. Like all issues between conservatives and liberals, I think.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Unfortunately. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So now your Conservative Party in Canada, is that sort of been hijacked by a religious right as well as the United States Conservative Party?
Yes, the Conservatives would like it to, but to a large extent, it's not. There's a lot of people who are conservatives who aren't, you know, a lot of gay conservatives and a lot of conservatives who like the conservative type policies who aren't necessarily religious right.
Oh, that's good news.
Mm-hmm.
Because our Republican Party has been hijacked by the religious right.
Yes.
As you know.
Yes, it's very unfortunate. And,
it is.
Yeah. And that kind of spills over into Canada a little bit, all that kind of attitude. So it makes liberals in Canada very nervous.
Yeah, it makes us nervous too.
Because Harper is a member of the religious right.
Yeah.
So, yes.
What are you to do? What to do, right?
Exactly. But we do what we can. But my experience is that gay politics, our approach in Canada is much the same as the approach in the United States. We try to stay active and we try to stay vocal and we try to keep the issues in the forefront. For whatever reason, it's much more difficult in the United States because of the legislative challenges that you face.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that, Canada really should study American culture to see how the religious right took over the Republican Party, because it started 30 years ago.
Oh.
And it started at the level of the church, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what they do is they come in, these religious people, they come in and make divisions within the churches. and to sort of denounce you know, more liberal churches and sort of create these hardline thinking and stuff. It's really interesting what they did, you know. And then from there, they go to different areas, right? They'll move into an area, let's say, and they'll get on the school board, and then they'll start making changes there. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll start locally, you know, and then they build this groundswell until, of course, there's leadership available for, you know, larger, you know, more important senates and congressmen, or I don't know what it would be like in Canada, but, you know, mm-hmm. so, you know, your representatives.
I think there might be one, what I think is a major cultural difference in Canada, and that is, in the United States, there's a huge emphasis when you become an American to completely assimilate to American ways and take on, I guess, the American way of life. I mean, whatever that is, that's a whole debate on it on its own. And in Canada, there's an attitude of immigrants or people who want to become Canadian citizens are encouraged, very, very strongly encouraged, to keep their culture, keep their language, and keep their own traditions. So I think that makes for a more flexible outlook on politics and the rights of the individual, because everyone is encouraged to not assimilate, to be who you are, and yet still get along.
Sounds great.
I don't know if that makes any sense. So
no, it does. It's more diverse. Okay. You know, it's not a melting pot.
Mm.
It's okay. More like a jigsaw puzzle. You know,
or a mosaic.
Or a mosaic. That's a better word.
Yeah.
Interesting. I never knew about that part of Canadian culture, and that's new to me.
That's especially true in the large cities like Toronto and Vancouver, and even to a large extent Montreal, even though Quebec has its own issues to deal with because they're, you know, there's the whole French Canadian culture and separatism and all that to deal with too. And yet there are many, many English Canadians that say that at various points in our Canadian history, but in the last crisis, there were English Canadians that put on their bumper stickers, you know, Quebec is part of my Canada. French Canada is part of my nation, that kind of thing. So they, you know, drive around with that bumper sticker, showing their support for Quebec and Quebec culture.
Quebec is the only French province of Canada, is that right?
Yes. Yeah. And although, go ahead.
I was going to say, is it a dual language country, right? Everything?
Yes.
How's that work?
Well, it doesn't work very well for the French Canadians who are in English Canada, as far as they're concerned. But in Quebec, it works well for them. And then, of course, there's the opposite side where English-speaking Canadians object to having to speak French in Quebec. So I can remember, for example, learning. Some of the things that I think are odd is that I was required in school to learn French as part of. We all had to learn French as part of the curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to Quebec for the first time, I don't know, when I was about 17, and I started talking to the locals there, and they finally told me, they're very unfriendly anyway, culturally, no, I shouldn't say that, in the sense that they do want you to speak French to them, and if you show some difficulty with speaking French, then they'll start speaking English to you, if they even know English. There's many French Canadians who don't speak a word of English at all. In fact, but in a place like Montreal, there's a lot of English-speaking French Canadians. They were a little bit annoyed, and I finally discovered that it was because I was speaking continental Parisian French. I wasn't speaking the Quebec of my own country. So they were like, this is the French that you learn is not the French that's part of your culture, like part of your national heritage.
Yeah.
So
I found that the French Canadians sort of sound like they have a guttural approach to their French. It's almost like German.
Well, it's apparently a mixture of archaic French that dates from the first generation of French settlers, which was like way back in the 15 or 1600s.
Hmm.
Yeah, so.
Wow. You know, the French actually were the first to come through Cape Ann here in Massachusetts.
Ah.
And I found that out. Some other things that, well, there's a lot of, and I guess they finally ended up in Quebec, but they were here.
Well, there's also the French of Louisiana and New Orleans.
That's right.
They were all Canadians or French people who were North American.
Yeah. And there was that part of that fur trade too, and right down the Mississippi and and traveling. Yeah, interesting. I should do more research on that and do a show on that. Make my note here, French Canadian.
I think that's right up your alley, actually.
It is.
Mr. Wikipedia.
Yeah, I love Wikipedia or Wikipedia or whatever you pronounce it. So why do you suppose that they don't teach you French Canadian? I mean, as you know, if Canada is a dual language, right? Do you think it's a political? Is it political or?
No, I think it's, well, maybe it is. I'm not sure, but I think it's the same as say in Hong Kong, where people would learn English, but what they would learn is, quote, the Queen's English. So everyone who learns English, maybe this isn't true now, but it certainly was true in the past, you would learn continental British English. You don't learn American English necessarily or Canadian English. People in other countries in Europe and Asia would learn continental English. So that was considered the official English. So I assume that the curriculums or the school boards in English Canada said, well, we have to teach official French, which is continental French. I'm sure that was the reason.
Yeah. So what is taught in Quebec, French? What kind of French is taught in Quebec? I mean, it's not different grammatically, right? I mean, it's just the pronunciation or?
I can't answer that completely because I'm not fluent in French Canadian, in Canadian French. But I would say that no, it's not completely the same. There's a dialectic difference. There would be different expressions or different ways of expressing things than you would in Paris or France.
Interesting. You know. My contact with French Canadians is very interesting. When I was a child, I come from Philadelphia area. And my family used to go to Wildwood, New Jersey, which is the penultimate town, most southern town, along the shore. And also, this is a wonderful place that French Canadians used to come to as well.
Oh!
So every summer, you'd have all the Philadelphians in Wildwood, as well as a large number of French Canadians. And we'd be in the same motel, right, at the pool, but the French Canadians were speaking French and the Americans were speaking English. It's very interesting. And they had the Speedos. I remember that.
Well, you know there's a lot of great culture that comes out of French Canada, you know, not the least of which is Celine Dion.
Oh, yes.
And they make their movies are fabulous. Like, their film industry is superior to English Canada's film industry, I think. And they just go ahead.
No, I was just saying.
Oh, okay.
I'm just agreeing. I'm just it's a bad tick of mine to do that. So, but you know, I will say this is that when you mentioned about the film, you and Special K were talking about a film a few weeks ago, a murder mystery where the guy is like half in French Canada and half in English Canada.
It's a team of two cops. They have to become a team because the murder or the body is found hanging over a sign that is the demarcation point between the province of Ontario and the province of Quebec.
Yeah.
So two cops are assigned, one French Canadian and the other is English Canadian.
Yeah.
And you know it's their relationship as they try to solve the murder.
Yeah. Is that on DVD? Do you think?
I'm not sure it is yet. It's called Bon Cop, Bad Cop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it should be. It may be out now because I don't think it's in the theaters anymore. But it's a delightful film.
Yeah, I'm going to look it up on Netflix. I thought it was interesting. So now that we're talking, okay, what about some other interesting facts about Canada? Is there a Canadian Thanksgiving?
Yes.
And what is that and when is it and what do you think about it?
Well, we have it the third weekend of October, and I think it's not the national. Well, it is a national holiday, but it doesn't. It's There seems to be this attitude in America that it's like the big holiday, and it ushers in the Christmas spirit. That's the feeling I get about American Thanksgiving. But it's not really like that in Canada, at least not in my experience.
Mm-hmm.
But there's lots of turkey and lots of pumpkin pie and, you know, lots
so it's like a harvest dinner.
Then, yes.
For the most part.
It is. Yes.
And harvest and actually, what about Halloween? Do you guys celebrate Halloween up there?
Yes.
No, Thanksgiving here for me, I mean, I never really thought of it as ushering in Christmas. I mean, though the day after Thanksgiving is supposed to be the high holy day for shopping. But that has changed a lot over time.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the nature of retail and malls and all sorts of things. So people don't necessarily go shopping the day after Thanksgiving. And clearly they're not any kind of sales that to speak of, you know, until after the holidays, you know. I think, and, you know, but that's American consumerism.
Well, what will you do for Thanksgiving? What do you typically do?
Well, my partner and I, we've been hosting the Thanksgiving since we bought our place up here in Rockport. And so we have his sister and his sister's family, which is five. It's the sister, I'll call her my sister-in-law because we're not officially married, but my sister-in-law, her husband, and the three kids, John's mother, and that's it. We have eight of us. So I cook a turkey, and, you know, we have all the trimmings and stuff. So I host Thanksgiving, and then his sister hosts a Christmas dinner.
Oh, okay. And what is she lives in the same area?
She lives in Rockport, too.
Oh, okay.
So we live local.
Where's your family?
My family's in Philadelphia, outside of Philadelphia. And I don't like traveling in the holidays anyway. But, you know, I'm not going to do that. I'd rather – I love cooking anyway, so I love getting this big meal together and doing that. And I have pictures of the turkey I do on my website. If you come to the Flatter Show, you can see the turkey dinners, the turkey stuff I did, my turkey.
Is that for Christmas or for Thanksgiving?
It was for Thanksgiving.
Oh, okay.
The table spread made and the turkey's there. I discovered a great way to cook it. It's Martha Stewart's method. Where you do is after you take the turkey out, you really should bring it to room temperature before you put it in the oven. It shouldn't be completely cold. And what you do is you wrap, you take cheesecloth in several layers and soak it in a mixture of melted butter and wine, white wine. And then you lay it on top of the turkey, and it keeps the skin from burning, and it browns it, like, underneath.
Okay.
So you keep this on, this cheesecloth covering until the last, like, until you have like the last half hour, right? And then you take it off, and then it just really crisps up perfectly, and you get this wonderful juicy meat. Makes the perfect turkey.
Well, thanks for that information. I mean, what Special K and I do, we do a freezer to oven.
Oh yeah, I've heard about that.
How does that work? Well, you just take it out of the freezer, you pull the giblets out. Mm-hmm. Because they're frozen, so you got to get in there and just yank them out.
Uh-huh.
And then you just put it right. You take all the wrapping off and you just put it straight in the oven according to the instructions. Well, that's because, you know, we're busy lesbians.
So how long does it take to cook?
Well, it takes the same. No, that's not true.
Because that's the thaw, right?
Yeah, it does. I think it takes maybe 2 hours more.
Wow.
So it could be an all day event.
Yeah.
Because a turkey typically takes about 4 or 5 hours, you know, when it's ready to go thawed, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. I mean, I buy my turkey a good week before, you know, I have to cook it, and I take it out of the wrapper and let it thaw in the refrigerator at a really slow rate, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, enough of this talk about turkeys, right?
Well, I'm one of those stereotypical dykes that failed home ec, so.
Ah, I see.
What can I say?
Yeah, I was really good at home ec. Well, you know, talking about, you know, bringing, you know, from freezer to oven, there is, I think, Jenny O is a company that puts out turkeys, and they sell a turkey. It's frozen, and it's in this special, like, foil bag, and it's meant to be put in the oven frozen.
Ah.
And it has all the timing and everything, and you know. I think what they do is that they sort of restrict the size of it because, you know, if you have a 20-pound turkey, I imagine that would take 12 hours if you put it in there frozen, you know.
Wow. Okay.
I would imagine because we have a 20-pound turkey, 18 to 20 pounds, and I don't stuff it because that takes a longer time to cook anyway, you know. Mm-hmm. And that takes about 4.5 hours, so.
Okay. Yes.
So, anyway. So, okay, you know, Joe G, you listen to Beppe podcast?
Every time he posts one, yes.
Yeah. He was saying about how us is a group of podcasters. I mean, I would include him and you, and he included me and some other ones that are on Q Potter, but we are sort of unlauded. What do you think about that?
I think that's okay. I like laying low. I really do like that. I think that, you know, if you're doing what you enjoy and what I want to do with my podcast is I want to entertain. I want to express myself artistically. I want to make people think if they want to think. And if they don't want to think, they don't have to. And I just want to be able to explore this new medium. That's really what I want to do. And I have to keep reminding myself of that because this podcasting thing, like everything else in the entertainment or broadcasting industry, is extremely competitive. So I don't want to get caught up in any of that, you know, popularity stuff. I can't do it. If I do that, it will detract from what I'm trying to do artistically, which is just trying to express myself and maybe share my view of the universe or my view of the world with other people and like-minded people. If they're interested, I just want them to listen and I want to be able to communicate and share.
Well said.
So, well, thank you. and I get the feeling that you're like that, and so is Beppe, and to certainly Mikey Pod as well.
Oh yes, yeah. I agree. What do you think about I don't want to say stats, but like your listenership. How much credence do you put into the number of your listeners you have? Like, do you want to grow the number of listeners, or what do you think about that?
Well, when I see my numbers in the beginning, when I saw my numbers going up, I got very excited. But now, when I see my numbers going up, and they do fluctuate quite a bit actually, but when I see my numbers go up, I start to get a little nervous actually. You get a bit of performance anxiety. You know, oh my God, now there's expectations. That's what I think. But on the other hand, I don't actually look at my subscriber numbers. I don't really pay that much attention to the actual subscriber numbers. I pay more attention to the download numbers.
Oh.
So I'm not really sure what the subscriber numbers mean.
Hmm. Yeah.
By the same token, just because somebody is downloading your show doesn't mean they're actually listening.
Exactly.
It just means they're downloading it.
That's right. That's right. So what do you use, FeedBurner? Or?
I'm on a hosting site that's based out of Toronto here called Blog Matrix, BlogMatrix.
Oh, yeah.
There's quite a few Americans on it as well, and a couple of people from UK, I think. And it's not very big. They're pretty small. But I have I can email the owner of the company and, you know, he'll email me right away.
Wow.
And give me information. If I send him an email and say, I think I found a bug, he goes, oh yeah, that is a bug. And, you know, we'll work on that one. And then they fix it. So from that point of view, it's nice and intimate. I have a good relationship with the Blog Matrix, support staff. And
So you get good numbers and everything. They give you enough stats that you're happy with that.
Oh, I'm happy with them. Yeah, like I said, I'm not sure how much credence to put in the stats, though. Really. Well, I'm also started to post at the same time. I have a mirror site on Podshow.
How's that work? Because I was thinking about that too. Is that free or what?
It is free right now. It's free and. I guess the only disadvantage is I haven't found a place where I can actually plug in my show as a GLBT show. It's just sort of arts and entertainment. So I think Podshow should probably have a GLBT category, but they don't seem to. I could be wrong. I haven't checked in a couple of weeks. Anyway, the only challenge I had was trying to get my you just have to get your RSS feed from your old host you have to somehow get it over to Podshow. And what they'll do is they'll take that feed and they'll suck all your shows onto their site. And then from there on, you can post manually.
Post the actual file there.
Right. So I upload to both places, Blog Matrix and Podshow at the moment. So what I did was I took a copy of my RSS feed from Blog Matrix. I put it on my own personal site.
Mm-hmm.
And then I told what I did was I directed Podshow. Oh, you have to put some kind of identifier inside the RSS feed in the description tag. Mm-hmm. And then what I did was when I went to click on the button to tell Podshow to suck my feed.
Suck my feed. I think I'm going to name one of these interviews "Suck My Feed."
Let me rephrase that. They call it the feed vacuum, probably for the same reason.
Yeah.
They didn't want to use "suck my feed."
I like that one better.
So when I clicked on the link that said, you know, do the feed vacuum, took it from a location. It couldn't take it from the Blog Matrix site. It had to take it from my own personal site, and then it magically all my shows just appeared.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have limited space, so I can only have like 10 shows up at any one time, which is kind of convenient because then if people really want to listen to your old stuff, they can just, you know, ask me, but they don't. But, you know, it's like 10 at a time, and I think that's probably fine, you know. Some of these archives, they go back to the beginning of time, you know.
Right.
They're almost, you know, you subscribe to a show, and the next thing you know, and iTunes, it's like, you know, a foot of, you know, shows you have to, you know, click on. Anyway.
Wow.
So you're a technology gal, right? I understand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's what you do. Yeah. You're computer gal.
I have been doing that my whole career, yes. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I pretty much love new technology. So whenever I see something new, I want to play with it. And there's just so much, it's so hard to keep up.
Yeah, that's right. You've been listening to The Flavor Show. You can reach me at 206-339-JOSE, or you can reach me at Kenty@theflatishow.com.